But this morning, I want to chat to you about intimacy, the key. Intimacy, the key. And in Exodus 33, we see the most beautiful conversation happening. But just before we get to the conversation, we actually see God coming onto the scene. And God is clearly not happy with His people. And He doesn't want anything to do with Him at that moment. He's like, listen, I will still allow you to go to the promised land. That which I've promised you, you can go there. But I'm just not going with you. You can take your stuff. I'll bless you. You can just go and it's all good. And then we see Moses, the man of God, probably in my mind, one of the greatest leaders that's walked this earth, step onto the scene in the presence of a mighty God, and he has the boldness to actually have a conversation with him about what God is saying. Now, for most of us, when God says something, you know, that is kind of it. But I love this, the intimacy. You know, even the verses before this describes it, you know, when Moses went to that tent of meeting, it was God speaking to him like a friend. God chatting to a man like they were friends. Awesome. That is so cool. The incredible thing is when Moses left, Aaron stayed. Just a bit longer. In any case, so we see this conversation happening here in verse 12. It says, Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me to lead these people. So Moses is saying, Lord, I heard your voice. You said, lead this people. I am obeying. But you haven't let me know whom you're sending with me. By the way, this morning I'm reading from the God's Word translation. Just something a bit different than the normal. It just says it slightly different to some of the other translations. You also said, I know you by name and I am pleased with you. If you are really pleased with me, show me your ways so that I can know you and so that you will continue to be pleased with me. Remember, Lord, this nation is your people. Then the Lord answered, my presence will go with you and I will give you peace. And just this portion is such a, can you see the beautiful interaction between Moses and God? Moses not afraid to speak his heart before the Lord, even not afraid to remind God of the promises and that which God has spoken over his life. And then so often we receive words of encouragement from the Lord. You get that scripture that just ministers to you. And 2 weeks later, you don't even ponder on it anymore. And you're going through stuff. And I want to encourage you to take those scriptures, those words, and go back to the Lord and say, but Lord, this is what you say. You know, and it's especially precious in those times where we are facing stuff. Like Rolf even faced. You know, where we can take God's word and just speak to him about the stuff that he said about us. Those prophetic words that he said, this is what it's going to look like. And then where you are right now, everything except what it looks like what God said it should look like. And that's when we can have this conversation. In verse 15, Moses continues. He says, then Moses said to him, if your presence is not going with us, do not make us leave this place. How will anyone, love this, how will anyone ever know you're pleased with your people and me unless you go with us? Then we will be different from all the other people on the face of the earth. Clear distinction. What makes them look different to the rest of the people on this earth is the fact that God needs to go with them. And Moses realizes this, that God, unless you're going to go with me, I'm just going to look like everybody else. People are going to look at me and there's no difference between me and them. And the only thing that's going to make the difference is your presence that is with me. Sure, this is such a, I mean, and if you read the rest of the book, you just see how God moves there. And the nations have to acknowledge that God is with this people. I mean, come on. Imagine you're a king and you're going against the people, and they get in front of a sea, and suddenly the sea opens up. Now, I think if I was that king, I would go, okay, good boys. Clearly, your God that is with you is a mighty God. In any case, verse 17 continues. He says, "The Lord answered Moses, 'I will do what you have asked.'" Love that. "I will do what you have asked because I am pleased with you. And I know you by name." Then Moses said, and Moses just takes it that step further. He says, "Please let me see your glory." And if you read the rest of the chapter, or the next chapter as well, where God then comes and he hides him in the cleft of the rock and he walks past, he says, "You can see my glory, but you can only see my back." The only person that I've read about that have seen that and lived. Okay, God said, "You cannot see my face because you won't make it." You know. So what makes a Christian different to other people? What makes a Christian different? Is it our church attendance, you know, regular church attendance, the fact that we're sitting here week after week? Does that make us different? It's the fact that we're reading the Bible. Does that make us different? The fact that we maybe give our tithes and offerings, that we maybe help people, we're compassionate to people, does that make us different? Does just calling myself a Christian set me apart from all other people? What makes a Christian different? And I think we see a great clue in this portion that we have just read. We see a clue onto what is supposed to make us look different than all the other people on this earth. It's the very same thing that if I meet someone that's got that, I know that they are a Christian. They are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. And if we read the scripture, we see Moses coming before God and he's saying, "Lord, you have given me some promises." Who have you received promises from God about your life, about your future? Okay, is that all? And the rest of you? Wat van julle? You should receive and pursue God in such a way that you get those prophetic words. You get that scripture. You are intimate with God to the point where he speaks to you with a word, where he confirms it with those that are around you, so that you know where you are going. Otherwise, you will be someone like someone walking around in a dark room without a torch. How would you find your way in this world if it's only darkness? We need the promises of God. And then we need to come to the Lord and say, "Lord, please remember them." And I love what Moses is saying. And I've received a word like this, that I'm pleased with you. And when I read this, I thought, okay, Lord, it's on. We're going to have to talk about this one. That you are pleased with me, and that you know me by name. Doesn't Scripture say that he knows each one of us by name? Doesn't Scripture say he knows the very amount of hair on your head? Some of us are easier to count than the rest. And I just think of Loretta and Jemal. They've got all the hair that I was supposed to have. It's thick and lush and all this, and mine is the dearly departed. But he knows us so intimately. He knows every little thing about you. Even that mushy that you don't like, he likes it. Because he made you right way. He knows every little detail. He knows me by name. He knows me. Just bump someone next to you and say, "He knows me by name. And I'm pleased to him." Do you know that you are pleasing to him? Do you know that as a son and a daughter of God, you are pleasing to God Most High? And that is the very thing that the devil wants to rob you of, is that you are pleasing to the Lord. No? So often when we come before the Father, we go, "Yeah, I'm not worthy to be here." You are dead right. You are not, but in Christ you are. Amen. You see, it's not about me. It's not about my work. It's not about what I do or don't do. It's about me being in Christ, being dead to my flesh, being dead to sin, being dead to the things that the devil wants to place upon me. I'm alive in Christ, man. I am pleasing to the Lord. I've got a robe of righteousness on. I do not have a robe of sin anymore. I used to have that. Some of you should just maybe throw off something this morning. You know, throw off that rope that the devil wants to hang on you that says you're not good enough. I like how Moses pushes it a bit further. He says, Lord, if you are really pleased with me, Lord, if you are really pleased with me, it's almost like it's a, you know, it sounds to me like a test. Okay, Father, if you are really pleased with me, then he says, show me your way. He doesn't go like, Lord, if you're really pleased to me, you know, want that house there on the side of Table Mountain overlooking the ocean, then I'll know you are pleased with me. You know, or that next salary, or that paycheck, you know, whatever, you know, or the 20 kids that you want, you know, then Lord, I know you'll be pleased with me. No, he says, Lord, if you're really pleased to me, do one thing for me, please. And show me your ways, so that I can know you. And then he continues, and so that you will continue to be pleased with me. Show me your ways, so that I may know your ways. You get what I'm saying. See, if we want to be continually pleasing to the Father, we need to have a desire for His ways. If we know His ways, He will continually be pleased with us. You see, we walk this life that is not our own. A life that's pleasing to Him. And as we know, as we study His Word, as we understand His will, as we are intimate with the Lord God Most High, He reveals to us His ways, and therefore we are pleasing to Him. Moses understood that to be pleasing to God was to follow His ways. How many times, if you read the New Testament, does Jesus say that, you know, you need to keep my commandments? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And there's a similar thing here. It's that thing that you know, we just want to be pleasing to Him. We want to do His will. We want to be intimate with Him. What makes a Christian different is an intimate relationship with God Most High. It's people that walks in His ways. That's what makes them different. It's the people then, when we move, our God is with us. And we see His power and His majesty being revealed and shown. You see, we are never alone. Not even in our darkest moments are we alone. Because He is with us. And the devil wants us to believe that we are alone. The devil wants to make you feel like God is not for you. That your circumstances is final. You will not live again. That's what the devil wants you to feel like. But the reality is, there's nowhere that we can go to be separated from the love of God. There's nothing that we face that separates us from God Most High. I guess we can run away from Him. We can do the human thing and run away. And try to fix things our own way. But it's when we come before God in His presence and we start reasoning with Him and we start talking about it, to Him about the promises that He's given us, that we are in that place where we can talk with God. Where God didn't want to go with the people, in Moses' discussion, God changes His mind and He says, I will go with you. You know, maybe, makes me think, you know, maybe there's times in my life that I've messed up so much that, you know, I've received the promises and then God is angry, you know, He's not going to go with me anymore. But there's this space where I can come before the Lord in intimacy and seek His face and just become one with Him again. What makes a Christian different is knowing that He knows my name. Is knowing that He knows the hair on my head, that I'm pleasing to Him, even when I think I'm not. What makes us different from the people of the earth is the fact that we want to please Him. You see, because we can pursue so many other things in this life, what makes us different is that we have a different goal. You see, we are on a different mission. This world is on a selfish mission, but we are on a selfless mission. We are on a mission to lay down our lives for others, to see others get born again, to see others be reconciled with God, to see others' sins forgiven, to see others being healed, saved, delivered. That's what set us apart. That's what makes us different. A mission that of reconciliation, where we minister from that place where God has given us the authority to reconcile people to Him. And so this morning, I just want to quickly give us 10 things that intimacy with God leads to. So, you know, when you look at an ad, I guess on TV or whatever, you always want to know what's the benefits of a product. Now, this is not in the same light, all right? But consider what the Word of God says will happen to your life when you are intimate with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the first one is that you will hear His voice. You will hear God Almighty's voice. The Creator of heaven and earth. The one who made everything. The one who sent His Son to die for you. You will hear His voice. Jeremiah 33 verse 3 says, call on me and I will answer you. Can I encourage you this morning to call on Him? Because He will answer you. Call on Him. Call on me and I will answer you. I will tell you great and mysterious things that you do not know. I've said this many times in the past, but I think we as Christians sometimes are okay with settling for vagueness. You know, we're fine with a God that doesn't tell us everything and doesn't want to speak to us about the detail of our lives. And sometimes we come before Him with good intentions. Lord, tell me what to do. And we think 5 minutes is going to do it and then we run away. But we don't linger like Moses did in the presence of God, pressing in and saying, Father, show me what you want to do. Just imagine what the Bible would have looked like if Moses, when he went and God said, Moses, sorry, bro, I'm not doing this. I'm not going with you. Moses said, okay, Lord, you are God. I'm walking away. Do you think we would have read the rest of the story? No, but everything changed when he was intimate with God. Intimacy is the key for changing the rest of your life. It's in intimacy when I hear the voice of God that everything changes. How many of you can testify when you were praying something, you get the word from the Lord, everything changes. Even if it's just you. Even if it's just this joy in me that suddenly wasn't there and now it's there. Nothing externally changed. But my perspective changed because I heard God's voice. Secondly, God's peace. Philippians 4 verse 6 to 7 says this. Never worry about everything. Anything. Everything. An addition to the Bible there. I say. But in every situation, let God know what you need in prayer and requests while giving thanks. Then God's peace, which goes beyond anything we can imagine, will guard our thoughts and emotions through Christ Jesus. We all lose it in that first portion of that scripture. Never worry about anything. What does never mean? It means sometimes. You see, but when I'm intimate with Him, I have His peace. Everything around me is chaos. But I'm not worrying because I'm at peace. You see, the world, Scripture says, the world is going to shout, peace, peace, we want peace. Saints, we have the source of peace. We can be intimate with the one who can give us everything that we need in every circumstance. 3, being transformed and free. Matthew 11 verse 28 to 30. Come to me, all who are tired and carrying heavy loads. If that's you this morning, come to him and I will give you rest. Place my yoke over your shoulders and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble. Then you will find rest for yourselves, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know when do we get transformed? It's when I throw off the yoke that I'm carrying that's not of God, and I put on his yoke. Then I'm actually free. Do you understand that when we have the yoke of God on our shoulders, then we are actually free to walk the way he wants us to walk? But when I got the wrong yoke on, that burdens that weighs me down, that just, you know, it's just there. Just throw off that stuff. Maybe you should go home and do a prophetic act and just, you know, just say, Father, I'm just throwing off these yokes that the devil has been trying to place on me. Some of the yokes I've put on myself. 4, wisdom and focus that is unmatched. James 1 verse 5. If any of you needs wisdom, now listen to this. If any of you needs wisdom to know what you should do, you should ask God. Straightforward, plain and simple. And he will give it to you. God is generous to everyone and doesn't find fault with him. God wants to give you the wisdom that you need, but it's in a place of intimacy. 5, being intimate with God will lead to a place where I can love my neighbor. Love for my neighbor. John 15 verse 12 to 13. Love each other as I have loved you. This is what I'm commanding you to do. The greatest love you can show is to give your life for your friends. You see, this is the life we're called to. This is the different life. This is how people will know that he is with us, is if we love this way. Man, and we all need to grow in this one. This is the one we don't often get right. Sometimes we don't like each other. And that's why you're sitting this side and they're sitting that side. No, I'm joking. Let's not make it what it's not. You see, and here's the thing. I can truly love you only when I'm intimate with God. Only when I am in that place. You know, because I've recently discovered for the umpteenth time that if I'm not really intimate with God, then there's this flesh thing that comes out. And initially it kind of feels okay, but then I have to realize that, who's this dude? I recognize him from long ago and he's not welcome here anymore, okay? But we can love our neighbor from a place of intimacy with God. 6, an understanding of God's character. Now consider this verse. Numbers 23 verse 19 says this, God is not like people. Just think on that quickly. God is not like people. So stop thinking about him in the same way that you think about people. He is not people. He is not like the people. The ones who've disappointed you, the ones who've neglected you, the ones who've done stuff in your life, he's not like them. He tells no lies. No lies. He is not like humans. He does not change his mind. When he says something, he does it. When he makes a promise, he keeps it. I guess there's some of us maybe sitting here this morning and we've got trust issues with the God, the Creator, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We don't trust him. I hope this scripture encourages your heart this morning that he is not like men. He's not like us humans. Please do not put him in the same box. 7, being intimate with him will lead to divine revelations. John 16:13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into the full truth. He won't speak of his own. He will speak what he hears and will tell you about things to come. You see, we've got the Spirit of God dwelling in us. As the saints of God, as the children of God, do you understand that we are supposed to know what to do? Because God has anointed us. We've got the Spirit of truth, even at this time. If you are wondering if something is truth, ask the Spirit, who will reveal to you all truth. Number 8, guidance and strong faith. Who needs some strong faith? Isaiah 58:11, the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy you even in the sun-baked places. Asay, sounds like South Africa. He will strengthen your bones. All the over 50 say yes, amen. Amen. We had an amazing race yesterday with the Salt Shakers, the 50 plusers. It was good fun to see them run. I know in their minds it was that athlete sprinting down the field, you know, and it's only seconds. But I tell you, we had to wait at the cars while the running was going on. So we can pray this prayer boldly. Lord, strengthen our bones, okay? You will become like a watered garden, like a spring whose water does not stop flowing. Is that us? Amen. Do we feel like this? This is the promise of God. When I'm intimate with Him, man, I'm going to be like a well-watered garden. There's going to be water that's just flowing. You know, when we don't have water flowing, I guess we need to ask ourselves, are we intimate with Him? I don't know. But the Lord will continually, listen to those words. The Lord will continually guide you and satisfy you, even when it's tough. Number 9, comfort and love comes from the presence of God. 2 Corinthians 1:3 says this, praise the Lord, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Father who is compassionate, the God who gives comfort. He comforts us whenever we suffer. That is why whenever other people suffer, we are able to comfort them by using the same comfort we have received from God. Saints, we can comfort because we have been comforted. We can touch people's lives in a certain way because the presence of God is upon us. That is what makes us different. Number 10, strength to live righteously. Oh man, come on. Isaiah 40:31 says, yet the strength of those who wait with hope in the Lord will be renewed. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and won't become weary. They will walk and won't grow tired. I've given you 10 things. And that's just 10. It's not an exhaustive list. But the presence of God changes everything in our lives. Intimacy with God, like Moses had, that moment where we sit down with our Father and we have a conversation with Him, not a shopping list. Lord, you need to sort out my boss and Father, please, the kids, man. I mean, come on, Lord. I've now prayed how many times about this. Can you please sort out the kids now? And Lord, that car, something's wrong with that car. You need to sort out the car. Lord, actual fact, Father, I want a new one. Lord, now I've had enough now. This thing is rubbish. I want a Toyota, Lord. Yeah. And a new one, not a second-hand one. Saints, can I invite you and remind us, there's this beautiful place that we have access to, and that's the presence of God. And I can experience that, I can have that anywhere, any moment, any time. See, intimacy with God is not that 15 minutes just in the morning. Intimacy is daily as I walk with Him. Intimacy. I want to say to you is the key to transform your whole life. To transform this whole world, the whole world that we are called into, that we live in, intimacy with God, is going to change all that. Intimacy will unlock our knowing and understanding of this God that we serve. The result of that, we will live lives that are transformed, that are like no other. Yes, and I know we walk in an aspect of that, but may I call us higher this morning. May I call us deeper into the presence of God. May we seek Him more. May we thirst for Him more. May we hunger for Him more, so that the world will be saved. See, when I am intimate with Him, I will see my life changed, but I will see the lives around me also change. I will be the one in the midst of the most incredible tough situations who have peace, who knows and have security in that I am known and that I'm pleasing to the Father. I mean, just that, just that. Just the fact that He knows me by name and that I'm pleasing to Him, for me, changes everything. He knows my name. My God knows who I am. He knows who you are. And He's pleased with you. And then you go, and you've got that long list of why He shouldn't be pleased with you. And then you're just reciting what the devil is saying. Because you are His son, His daughter. He paid the full price for your life. See, when we're intimate with Him, we'll have wisdom beyond our years. And we will bear much fruit. John 15, probably one of my favorite chapters, is Jesus saying that I am the vine. You can do nothing without me. Band, can you come up? Let's stand.